I can do everything my wife can do, and my wife can do everything I can do. So there's no dependency on who's bringing the baby to bed or who's bringing the baby to daycare. So we wanted to make sure that everything is very equal.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Rerouting, Navigating Parenthood. Last episode, we spoke with Kate Mangino, the author of Equal Partners. If you haven't heard that episode, it's one you're definitely not going to want to miss. One of the things we talked about with her were the ways that we can begin to create equal opportunities for parents. Specifically, a very important one that we discussed is equal parental leave for those in the workforce. This is something that's far more common in Europe and also here in Germany compared to the US. With that in mind, I wanted to invite my friend and former colleague Jacob Ziegler to the show. He's a dad who has experienced this firsthand. He's going to talk about his experience of parental leave, what the logistics of that look like here in Germany, and also just share his experience, the effects that it had on his relationships with his partner and with his son. As an American, this concept is truly fascinating to me, which is why I think it's so important that we hear his story directly from him. So with that, I present Jacob Ziegler. Jacob, first of all, welcome to the show.
Hello, thank you for having me.
I'm really excited that you're here today and that I can introduce you to Deep.
Welcome, Jacob.
Yeah, thank you, Tiffany. Thank you, Deep. Thank you for having me. Great to be here.
Do you want to just introduce yourself a little bit? Who is Jacob?
Yes, so I am 33 years old, living in Berlin. And I'm lucky enough to be a father since 2 years. I'm working currently part-time, which is 80% right now. And together with my wife, we made the conscious decision that we are going to take care of our son equally. And we are both reducing work period right now. We are reducing work time. We're dedicating a lot of time to our son. And we are very happy right now that we're able to do that. And we just love being parents, to be around our son and make the most time with him and have great memories, especially in this young age with him.
That's great. Tiffany, I think this is an excellent chance. You got to find your German dad on the show. And we've talked about this concept of parental leave.
Yeah, parental leave, which is even bigger. So Jacob and I, first, I think one of our first conversations was about that he was a dad, which it's no secret. I'm a mom. I think almost everyone knows Olive and I are peas in a pod, and there's no Tiffany without Olive or vice versa. But the interesting thing here is that Jacob actually went to university in the U.S., where I'm from, in the Midwest. And so it was so interesting for me to... One, he has like an understanding that not everyone has at work culturally, because he's been there, he's experienced it, he knows how things are. At the age that you're now in, Jacob, with Oscar, it was all in the States. It's so different. And the thing is, this was over a decade ago now, right? When Olive was this age, or when I was just having her and these like young years. But kids are being shoved into daycare weeks after birth in some cases. But it's not the way it is here, that there is guaranteed not only maternity leave, but parental leave, which you have here in Germany. So for all of our international listeners who, one, probably have their minds blown right now, they have no idea what I'm even talking about. Can you describe how that is here, the parental leave situation, and how you and your wife did it?
So the parental leave basically gives you 14 months of free time with your newborn child, and you can split those 14 months however you want it. So some are doing it, let's say, traditional way, that the wife or the mother is staying 12 months away from the job, and then the father is going 2 months, or you can split half, or you can split whatever you want. You can even split those 14 months over a dedicated period of time, so you don't need to do it consecutively. Mm. You can do it over 2 years of time span.
Right.
And this is on top of the maternity leave that the mother's obviously having here.
Yes. Okay. So Mutterschutz, mother protection. Yes. This is again another wild concept for most Americans. So I had a friend who was pregnant. That's when I found out about it. Because in the US, if you have maternity leave, you obviously want to use as much of that as you can once the baby is born. But of course, some people are having to go on bed rest, or they're like physically not able to work in those final weeks up to delivery. And I'm not sure I understand this. There are like 8 weeks or so before the delivery date where quote unquote mother protection or this maternity leave starts before the due date even comes, right?
That's correct. Yes, in Germany, it is 6 weeks before the estimated arrival.
Okay.
And then afterwards, it's 8 weeks. Yeah, this is the time span you get to protect the mother from any work-related stress and healing.
And how is that paid?
So that time is divided between the healthcare insurance and the employer, so that you get roughly the same. So this is basically full pay at the end of that period. So you are covered with that. And then afterwards, the parental leave mechanism kicks in.
And this is the bare minimum allowance that everybody gets. But if you are in a profession that it makes you even more at risk, like medical profession, nurses, I can tell from experience that even could almost get 8 months before that or 7 months before.
What?
So you are basically off as soon as you declare yourself pregnant.
What?
You're off work. And yes, absolutely.
And you're paid.
And you're paid. You are absolutely paid, yeah.
Wow. Wow. So just for my friends and my listeners in America, it's very possible. It's so possible. And it's happening here. And it's wild to me. Jacob, even when I heard you telling me, yeah, this is how we did our schedule, I was like, oh, wait, what? Which for anybody in the world who's ever had a one-year-old, a two-year-old.
Yeah.
You could still use the time. It's just amazing to me. So amazing to me. And even beyond that, to see women having this opportunity, that they've even eclipsed that. Men are using this. Maybe it's not as common, but it's available. It's just mind-blowing to me.
And just to be clear, what you talked about is paid parental leave for 14 months where you get some money from the government or the insurance or the company, whatever it is.
But basically, you're still getting paid almost.
You're getting paid. Yeah.
It is not a full pay, though. Yeah. It is capped. So in general, you get like 60% of your net income. And then it's hitting a threshold. So you don't get more than, in Germany, it's 1,800 euros per month.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So obviously, this is something you need to consider when making a conscious decision. How you want to split it.
For the 3 years of child's age that you said, up till the age of three, which I learned recently, you can take leave till the age eight. It's just not paid, but you get all the protection and the return of job and all that stuff. But it's just not paid. But there is, as a dad, I can get a leave till my son turns eight, which is amazing.
So Jacob, how did you guys decide? There's the maternity leave, which is some weeks. And then before and some weeks, almost 2 months after. And then this parental time, these 14 months. How did you guys decide and create this plan for your family?
Yes. So as soon as we got to know that my wife is pregnant, then obviously all those decisions are. And then how do you take parental leave is one of the things you have on the list, besides getting a daycare spot here in Berlin. And those kind of things. So this is a very early discussion you have with your partner, or you want to do this once the baby arrived. And we decided that we want to make sure that I am able to support my wife right after birth, because we thought and we heard from other friends that the first 2 months are very precious and very important, especially for the mother to relax and heal and be able to kind of like acquaint them with this newborn child, and that the partner should be there to support everything around this. Yeah. So that, because obviously the mother should be very, very limited in like walking around. She should rest a lot, so that someone should be around to support with providing food and getting the groceries and making sure that, yeah, the wife is comfortable, because obviously giving birth is a very stressful but also beautiful experience. Mm-hmm. So we decided that the first 2 months I should be definitely part of this time and not be working. Then we decided, okay, the first 2 months I will be there to welcome the baby and make sure that we have some kind of routine. And once we have this routine, we thought, okay, 2 months is okay. And then afterwards, we decided that I go back full-time first for another period of time, so that my wife has the whole time with the baby. And then obviously my mother is here in Berlin, so this helps a lot, obviously. She was helping out a lot. Then we spent some time of this time where I was working at my wife's place, so that the parents of my wife could support a little bit. So we made sure that even if I'm working, there is someone who could take care and support my wife with the child. And obviously now, being in the home office situation in 2020 when Oscar was born, mm-hmm. I wasn't far away anyway. So whenever something happened, I could always support. So then we decided, okay, I go back full time for another 5 months. And then we have a shared time where both parents are also in parents leave again, so that we can do some travel. Obviously then it was the summer months, and we decided that we have overlapping of 2 months where we do some traveling and basically just enjoy the time you have.
Yeah, spend some quality time together now at this like family of three.
Exactly.
It's also a bit of an adjustment just to get to know you and your wife have this relationship, but then there's this other person that becomes a part of it. And the dynamic changes. And so to have that opportunity of time to say, we're just going to enjoy and understand this routine and do some fun and relaxing or adventurous things all together, that's just so cool.
Yeah, definitely. And I must say, the first 2 months, I thought this was like a very relaxing time. Like you spent most of the time in bed, just relaxing. But actually, it was quite stressful. And there was nonstop, there was something going on. Either you had to get groceries, cook, or do laundry. It was not like you can just relax for the whole day.
Oh, the first 2 months. Yeah, definitely.
In the first 2 months, you were doing something and was very far away from just very relaxing. And I was trying to put away like this organizing stress, I would call it, away from the child and from my wife and take care of that, so that ultimately my wife can relax and take care of the baby and then obviously just of herself as well. Then we did some traveling. Yeah. So this was then in the summer months. We did some traveling together, which is obviously a very unique time you have. This is not coming very often, where both parents are able to take time off. And we were some traveling around Europe. We went to Austria, Italy, but we didn't go too far away because we always wanted to have the safety in our mind that we, if something happens or if we need to have some kind of doctor or hospital around, that we always came back home very early and very soon. So we did some traveling. And then actually my wife went back to work part-time again in, I think it was then 8 months after Oscar was born. And so she was going back to work again. And I was the one being at home, taking care of Oscar and making sure that he has everything he needs. And this was a very precious time for me as well, because this is a time where you, as a father, spend very much quality time with Oscar. In my situation, we were doing a lot of trips around Berlin.
Yeah, how was that? I don't know, just like, how did you feel? Like day one, she's like, bye, I'm leaving. It's you and this tiny human.
Yeah, I must say this was probably one of the best periods I have so far with him, because this is very much quality time. We have so much offer here in Berlin. You can go to those, we call them here Kiez-Oasen, where you can go and then you can meet other parents. If I went there, usually you met more mothers than fathers. But it's always cool to like exchange and just share stories with them. Other things I did, I was running with him in one of those running strollers.
Unhangers. That is a game changer. Ever since I bought that, it just changed the game for me from a fat belly to just somewhat fit dad.
Yeah, that was awesome. We just spent the summer. We had obviously nice weather and this was very cool. And then, yeah, this time passed really fast. And then it was my turn to put him into daycare. And then what happens in Berlin, usually you have a transition period of 4 weeks. This is the plan. Mm-hmm. Obviously, some children take longer to get acquainted with the daycare situation.
Just before you get to that, I'm curious to know, even how did you come to this decision with your wife that you would be the one staying at home? I feel there's something to be learned, some idea there, which we need to uncover.
Yeah, so obviously, in early beginning of the pregnancy, we decided that, or even before actually, because you make a conscious decision that you want to be parents. And before you actually go down this route, then you make a decision, okay, how do you want to manage being a parent? How do you want to manage the time when the baby is there? And then what happens after some time when, you know, like he's going to daycare? Do you want to reduce work time? What kind of parents do you want to be? And then we decided we want to be very equal parents. We want to make sure that me as a dad, and I'm at least the same amount of time I'm around him as my wife, that we do everything equally, that there's no situation where the child is only attached to one side of the couple, so that I can do everything my wife can do and my wife can do everything I can do. So there's no dependency on who's bringing the baby to bed or who's bringing the baby to daycare. So we wanted to make sure that everything is equally. Yeah? So that we put in the same energy in raising our child, that no one is feel left behind.
Because this is your reality, and sometimes no matter what our realities are, they are ours, so they don't feel foreign to us. No matter what situation we have, if it's like very normal or very not, it's just ours. But it was really interesting to me when we were at lunch and Deep asked you, do you ever have this like mom knows best, or is there a time when he's really wanting to cling to his mom? And you were just like, no, there's not. And I just think that because you so consciously made these decisions from the beginning, and because this time, which study after study shows how important these younger years are when attaching to a caregiver, he got that with you. There wasn't something that he couldn't get from you that he was only getting from mom. And so naturally, when there's something he wants or needs, there's no discrimination then. He wants or needs something, he's going to go to whoever's going to get it for him. Because kids are smart and they realize what they're getting from mom or what they're getting from dad. Mm-hmm. And I know it's your life and your everyday, but this is pretty phenomenal. I follow a lot of women on Instagram, especially in the States. And it's almost unheard of that even the dads that are jumping in and trying and doing their best, and I assume it's also because of the lack of social support there, that dads get to take this time early on. But it seems like it just pays off in so many ways, on a family level, on a personal level, on a societal level. And I think it's really incredible that you guys have this dynamic in your home.
Yes, yeah. And we are super happy that we are able to establish this. And within this whole discussion, like, what do you want to be with the child? Then when you do the organization of those upcoming months, then it fell towards my part of the parental leave that I need to introduce Oscar into the daycare. And then I spent this time with him. Usually in Germany, at least, I would say that the introduction into daycare is also being done by, not maybe, the share is probably not higher with fathers, but even a lot of fathers are doing this as well, that they're doing this daycare introduction.
Can you actually talk a little bit about the daycare introduction? Because this is also something really different from what's going on in the States.
Yeah,
so, and I guess a lot of places, maybe not. Maybe it's more common throughout Europe. I'm not sure.
Definitely not in India.
Not in India, right?
It's more of like, hey, you got to learn swimming. Here's a deep end. Go in there. Don't call me. I'll pick you up at 2 o'clock.
Don't call me. I'll be back later to pick you up, probably.
Yeah, I think I'd let you explain that, Jacob. But I think if this is done right, it could avoid so much trauma with kids. And at least I can recognize it myself. But, you know, hey, go for it, explain it, and we'll talk about that.
Yeah, sure. So the daycare, how it is structured in Germany is that you have, by law, you are entitled to have a spot for your child to be taken care of by the daycare facility. How it is structured here in Germany is that the daycare facilities, they are separated in different groups. So there is the younger group, which is between 6 months and 3 years, and then from 3 years to 6 years, when then the child goes into the preliminary school or just to school itself. Mm-hmm. So we decided that Oscar should be with the daycare when he was around one. So this was in line with when he was born, so that 1 year later he was able to join the daycare facilities we have around our home.
In Germany, are they even able to go to Kita daycare before the age one?
Yeah, so there are some Kitas which take children from 6 months, but I think 6 months is the earliest you can.
But 6 months is the youngest, yeah. So in the States, there are daycares taking children at 6 weeks. If you just think about Oscar when he was 6 weeks old, handing him over to a stranger, no real introduction the way it's done here in Germany, handing him over and coming back at the end of the day. Wow. It's just inhumane. Now that I know the way it's done here, it's inhumane to me, to the kid, to the parents, to the whole thing. It's just wild. So go on.
So then we decided, okay, when he was 11 months, so not completely a year old, then we started with this introduction phase. And how it is structured here is that in the beginning, when you look for daycare facilities, they tell you, okay, prepare for a month of introduction period. Some mm-hmm. children will be faster, some will be slower, but this is something they always recommend you to plan time, either by mm-hmm. being in Elternzeit or by taking just vacation days. And so we started that I was part of bringing Oscar to the daycare facility. First, it was just 1 hour per day. We went there from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. And the first week was just every day. We just went there for 1 hour. And then after that, we just left again. So he was then looking at the group. He was getting acquainted with all the fellow children and with the instructors.
The teachers.
The
yeah.
teachers.
Yeah.
So obviously, they slowly have to kind of get with the situation, with the new rooms, with the new group. And this is what the first week looks like. You basically mm-hmm. just go there for 1 hour and then you just go home again.
Yeah.
Then the second week, you start to expand this period to 1 hour, 30 minutes to 2 hours, just looking at how the child reacts. And then you start also in the second week to go away for some period of time so that mm-hmm. the child stays with the group without me in this case, so without the parent. And then you just basically just go to the next room so that you're always there in case something happens.
One, it's just, okay, everybody, here's what's happening. We're coming here. We're doing this together. Week two is, oh, you know this place a little bit by now. You sneak off or maybe you tell them. How is that handled?
Yeah, so basically what the teacher told us is that you need to tell the child, okay, I'm going away for a couple of minutes, but don't worry, I'm just in the next room. When something is there, you need me, I'll be there. So this is what you mm-hmm. say before uh-huh. you leave, so that you're not sneaking out without saying anything, because this is the worst situation you can imagine, because then he mm. is in some kind of trauma phase. So you yeah. tell him that you're going now, and then you kind of see what direction is. If he lets it happening, then it's great, then you go out, and then 5 minutes later, you just go back in again. Then you just test out, okay, is he feeling comfortable with being in this new environment? Or is he, as soon as you go out, is he starting to shake or, yeah,
looking panic.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So this was the second week, right? Getting a little bit away. So you start with 5 minutes and you expand it to 15 minutes of being away, depending on how it goes, obviously.
Yeah.
And then the third week, you start to expand even a little bit longer. You, mm-hmm. So you start to be in the daycare facilities from 9 to, let's say, 11. Mm-hmm. But also you expand the time when you're away more. So first it was 5 minutes and then it goes up to 1 hour. Yeah, so then the third week is going to just extend this period. And then the third week, ideally, you also start with maybe looking for the lunch break so that the child starts to eat a little bit for lunch.
So how did he like lunch? They're a year old, right? One of the things that's so fun is everything's new to them. And I'm sure just coming into this new environment, and this is one thing I do really love and appreciate about, I guess, the culture here. I feel like Germans overall are not sneaking things. They're allowing children to feel their feelings. And it's this privilege of time that gives it. And so as Oscar's like coming into this new place with all these kids and all these things to see and noises, and this is like such a sensory experience, what was it like for you and watching him slowly become a part of this new environment?
Yeah. Obviously, as a parent, you are freaking out, right? This is like the first time you're giving away your child to a somewhat stranger to you.
Scary.
And that you're like, yeah, it's very scary. And you can't prepare for that emotionally. At least I couldn't. But then if you're going in the rooms with them and they're starting to lighten up a little bit and you can see all the excitement in their face, and then they're starting to crawl around.
It just occurred to me, this is as much a benefit and gift to the parents as it is for the kids. I was really just thinking like, oh, horrible. But as I look back and remember dropping Olive off to someone the first time, and like, I was horrified. Thanks, absolutely. Jacob. I'd forgotten all about it. My God.
Yeah. But think about this first sleepover. Think about the first overseas trip. All that stuff is just, that training doesn't help in future stages as well, but it's a gift for sure.
So then we are lucky that he's very open to new things and that he digs the contact to other child. So he seeks to like to other children. He loves to play. So he was very open to those new things. I know that some children are different and they're more closed up. Obviously, you cannot. Yeah, there's no guarantee that it will happen.
But it also just allows for individualism.
Sure, yeah. Definitely.
It allows them to see this at their own pace and see that it's safe and there's no threat and that mom or dad are in fact coming back. God, for you to see, okay, actually he's enjoying it or he's seeking to play with this toy or knows what the lunch is next or whatever.
Yeah, definitely. For us, it was at the time when he was one, like we started this introduction. I'm not totally young one, but when we were finished, he was one then. And at that point of time, I believe the parents are not able to provide him and make him like, and provide him with this excitement he gets within the daycare structure. Because you are, as a parent, you're not a teacher in that regard, because what they're doing there, they have the structure, they're doing, like, they are coloring things, they are building the first things with their hands. The teachers are just there to support them. You cannot give the same amount of, let's say, structure.
Or experience. It's also that there are other kids around for the first time, and you're maybe, if you don't have siblings, that you also are having to navigate all these different social surroundings.
Exactly. And those social skills he gets when he's around other children. And that was part of us, or that was part of our decision when we decided, okay, he should be in daycare at 1 year, not later, because some maybe decide to get their child into daycare even later. We agree. We want to be okay, and let's do it with 1 year.
Actually, just on that, I've seen in my network, I've seen some negative effects to that as well. What do I know? But I call this, it may not be negative 100%, but what I see is parents, just because Germany provides this ability to take that leave for as much as 3 years, I've seen parents skip that Kita phase and also work it out that they go to school just because they have more time with the kids at home and just they want to nurture and feed the kid in the way that they like. And I've seen some kids just not being able to assimilate themselves better in school when they skip that Kita phase. So I think what you're describing about is, in my opinion, so necessary and so important for the kids to go through that fight between excitement to try something new and going back to familiarity of parents in that Eingewöhnung side.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true.
That learning phase comes at some point, right? It's either when they're going first into daycare or Kita or when they're going first into school. At some point, it's coming.
Yeah. So in my point of view, or in my situation, the Kita is a central part of how you are able to combine work and being a parent. Because without a good Kita, this obviously is not possible. And that's why I must say we in Germany are probably very fortunate to have this. So, yeah, it's not perfect here either, right? Having getting a daycare spot is something like close to like hitting six in a jackpot.
Yeah, it's difficult in Berlin.
It's very difficult, and I assume it's also difficult in other parts of the world. So this is something which obviously I think the state is in the responsibility to make sure that those facilities are there and we have enough availability to enable parents to be able to give their child away after 1 year so that they can go back and work and so that they are not just forced to be at home until they are 3 years old or whatever, whatever age it might be, so that they can go back to their work and actually do something else than just being a parent, which is obviously another aspect of being a fulfilled parent, right? Obviously, you love your child, but you also want to have, you probably have some other career goals you want to achieve. And without having a good infrastructure around you and where you are confident that the child is having a good time, that he's learning a lot, that obviously helps with having a calm mind.
That's a prerequisite, right?
Exactly.
To be able to be good or useful or focus on your own anything is that your kid is safe. This frees up so much mental energy and space and time. It's nearly impossible to strong arm that without it.
Exactly right. So if I continue now, then the introduction was very successful. After 1 month, he was sleeping there at lunchtime, or he was getting lunch, and then he was sleeping during the sleep phase. And then he figured out that we always give him into the theater around 8 a.m. and then picking up around 3:30 p.m.
So he learned very quickly you were showing back up.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, after a time, you just can leave him there, and then he's super confident. And, yeah, it's just another rhythm and another routine. Mm-hmm. So now when he's in the Kita, he's walking in there by himself. Yeah, he loves to be there. So this is very important.
Aww. And so then after you got him all adjusted, what was it like you getting back to work? Because even still after that, once he was in Kita full-time, considered full-time, you were not back to work full time.
Exactly. So during that 4 weeks, it was my parental time. So I wasn't working. I had 100% time for Oscar. Then when he was turning one, this was my first day going back again. But then I started also part time. So with 30 hours, then instead of 40 hours. And this was, in the beginning, it was a challenge. Because obviously you just need to establish some kind of rhythm. Yeah. Who's bringing him to the daycare facility? Who's picking him up? What you do in the afternoon once you pick him up? You go to the playground or you do something else. This obviously needs to establish in some kind of rhythm, right? And then you go back home around 5 p.m. Then it's dinner and it's bedtime. So those kind of things, it needs some time to adjust to those new aspects. And then, I was going back part-time. And I must say the amount of 30 hours per week is, in my opinion, the perfect mixture between you can get some stuff done on the work side, but you also can have enough time with your child to have some time with him to just make sure that you're there for him. And I think, around 30, 32 hours is the perfect sweet spot for that. And this is possible because when you're inside the parent leave umbrella, let's say you are allowed to work until 30 hours and being still part of the parental leave umbrella, I would say, because obviously in this current release time, you cannot get fired.
So your job is protected when you're taking this time.
Yes, exactly. Then we did this for half a year. So we went through the first winter and then was the decision, okay, how do you want to go forward? Then my wife was bumping up the hours a little bit first. So she went from 30 hours to 32 hours and we did just incremental additions, right? So she was doing 2 hours more work per week, but we did it just in those slight increments where we made sure that it's not a totally new situation that we can just adjust. Like then he's staying like half an hour longer in Nikita without being such a problem. And we did that just very carefully and made sure that we still have enough time for him. So she was going back she was rising the numbers to 32. Then I was doing the same, rising to 32 hours. And we realized, okay, we are still comfortable with the setup. nothing. Mm-hmm. We don't prioritize any work over Oscars. It's still very good. We still have enough time mm-hmm. in the afternoon. Obviously, there are times where my wife has some calls in the afternoon where I'm picking them up, but this is all part of the planning you're doing before a week. What does your schedule look like? What do you do?
Yeah.
Those kind of things. So this is something you manage, and that's why mm-hmm. it's so beautiful that you have reduced working hours, that you can take turns. Who's picking them up? Who's bringing them? Do you like some additional classes maybe after the Kita? But we thought this is not necessary because in the Kita, he's so exposed to new things and he's always getting input. But in the afternoon, we just do some relaxing stuff at the playground, just play around.
So now the situation is both of you are part-time, 32 hours and 32 hours?
Yes. So this was the situation until this winter. My wife is now back to full-time. Mm. A couple of months ago, she started. So
I remember you mentioning that.
I'm still on 32 hours, which is good, my opinion. But also, I'm starting a new job in January. We're recording this in December, where I'm planning on going back also full-time.
So he'll be 2 years, 3-4 months by then. So just over two. And until this age, you guys have had the opportunity to take time, adjust to being a family, get him adjusted into daycare, adjust yourselves with this new routine, and slowly work those muscles, if you will, up to full-time life, full-time parents, full-time jobs, the whole spiel. And in 2 years, how does that feel for you? So is there still part of it to you that feels like new?
Yes, definitely. It is, as you said, probably now I cannot imagine it being any different because now you're used to what you currently have and this is all good. But it still feels new in a way that Oscar is always developing as well, right? So he now has more skills and now he's starting to talk a lot. So now you can do different things. You can start with puzzles, for instance. So it constantly is changing also what you have to bring to him in order to not bore him, right? And those kind of things are still new to me and new to us because now you can actually have a conversation with him. You can ask him, what do you want? What don't you want to have? Mm-hmm. Do you want to have pasta or do you want to have something else? And then now you can decide, mm-hmm. I want to have this. I want to have porridge in the morning, or do you want to have cereals?
Spoiler alert, it will always change. As I even asked that, I was thinking about it and I was like, what am I talking about? The routine and the life. But I think the thing that I've just gotten used to is that she's a part of it and I change and move with it. They are always adding these new skills. And while there's always this piece that you miss, but it's also exciting to see the things that they have. And I think my only misconception that I believed for years, the lie that I believed is this will get easier. It will all get easier. You become more used to it.
It's different.
It's different seasons. Yeah. And that there are these things that while before it was it'll be easier when they're out of diapers and they're potty trained and they're doing that on their own. Yeah, fine. That physical labor part is easier, but then the social relationships change and there's struggles with friends at school or just things that you're I wish I were changing diapers again. That I knew how to do. And so it's always just rerouting. Speaking of rerouting though, the thing that I find very interesting because your situation, this equal partnership, is still not the norm, and it's certainly not the majority, which is why the book that Kate wrote, Equal Partners, this has such a relevant place. And that's also why it was so important for us to talk to you today, a real life version of people who are consciously making this choice and acting it out in their lives. And I think it's so easy to see how it benefits Oscar, how it benefits you, how it benefits your wife. But the question that I have is, why did you come to this? Why before you had a kid did you decide, I'm going to consciously make all of these decisions to be an equal part? How did you end up there?
I think this is my personality, which is very early, obviously, when I graduated from high school and then from college in the US. Being a father wasn't really like on my mind for that. But then when you get a partner, then you get married, in my instance, this is then obviously the next natural thing, right? You're thinking about kids and mm-hmm. what you want to achieve with being a parent. And then and I think naturally you will come to a conclusion which works for you. And for me, it naturally worked that I will be a very close, I want to have a very close relationship with my son in this case, but also with any other child.
Did you have the experience before? Like that, so, was that your experience and that was what inspired you or?
So obviously everyone is like different, right? And people, they want, maybe they have other ideas of being a father. Mm-hmm. But for me, honestly, the only thing I can compare is, you know, how my father was to me, right? Mm-hmm. And then obviously you start to compare. And when you're like thinking about you want to be a father yourself, then naturally start to compare. And in my instance, I wanted to make sure that I was at least the same, even if not more, part of my son's life. And then it came, was very clear to me that I want to be part of this, of my son's life from day one. And that I want to like experience things with him. I want to spend time with him. And I want to make sure that I do everything I can to be part of him. And that I want to establish a lifestyle where I can reduce and I'm able to reduce work time and like all the financial responsibility. I want to make sure that I'm in a lifestyle where I can reduce work time, but without sacrificing any financial responsibilities, which comes with it. And then I must say it came natural to me that I made a conscious decision. Yes, I want to be part of this. I want to bring something to this planet and not let someone else take care of each other. So I want to be the mutual decision you do with your partner. And then in my opinion, it needs to be natural that when you do a mutual decision, then at least you take half of the responsibility.
And
beautiful.
I actually think it's not so natural though.
It's not.
Think society and the norm is to go a different direction. So I'm going to give you a little bit more credit because it's not just happening so naturally. And I think that it does take a lot of conscious effort and conversations, and you guys are doing that. And I guess like the next thing for anybody who's looking at that and wondering if I step back from work or if I became more of an equal partner and played an equal role, like, I don't know, what's your take on it? How do you feel now that you've done it and you spend this time with him? Is it worth it?
And just connected to that, I'm curious to know, for the naysayers or people who are not just yet convinced, maybe to round it up, even looking from the other perspective, were there any frustrations and stuff that you thought that didn't quite gel with you at going through this process in a way that you described? What I have in mind is many a times you hear from the women who go on maternity leave and parental leave that they have to sacrifice their careers and they have to go on reduced hours or focus on the kid. And is that something that also went through your mind?
Or? Obviously, when you start your professional career, right, then you obviously get to know how maybe a superior or someone in your work environment, how they are dealing with being a family or being a parent. And then obviously you get examples and then you start to compare, okay, is that something you would like? Is that something you don't like? In my early first job, you saw both, right? You saw fathers who were able to spend much time with their children, but then you saw also colleagues who weren't able to do that. And then I decided for myself, okay, I always want to be part of, you know, my child. And then you start to compare and then you pick. Then I think the picture of what you want to become is getting more clear once you see more examples of what's out there. But then I must say here in Germany, at least, it's still the way that probably the mothers are probably sacrificing more than the men. At least this is what I experienced, that it's not that common, as Tiffany said, that not many fathers are saying, okay, now I'm reducing part-time. I think this is, at least like my early professional career, this is not what I experienced so much. And then, obviously it takes some time for you to realize, okay, do you want to either be part of the standard or do you want to be what you feel is right and be able to reduce that? And do you want to hide, in quotations, for more time and change the way maybe some other colleagues may perceive you as someone who's able to like reduce work hours and then just work part time, because then you say, okay, this is important to me. This is even more important than work for me. And then you see how it's accepted. And then obviously I got some comments where I said, okay, yeah, people see that I'm now reducing part and then reducing work in order to spend more time. And then they are saying, okay, they are thinking about now doing the same. And they're asking about, okay, how did you do that? Can you recommend something? Do you think what time is appropriate? Yeah. Then once you live by example, then people are asking you about what, and can you like maybe recommend anything?
Yes. When you are leaving loudly, Jacob leaves loud. And
and that's not normal. Amazing, because that is not normal.
Deep, when you asked about women, more women do it. Why? Because they make less. And so when you're measuring and doing values, like the burden becomes on the women. So whether they want to or not, and we have a long way to go, but what are some tangible action items we can do today that people in positions of privilege can do? And Jacob, you're doing it, my man. Keep leaving loud. And I think that when I ask you, like, is it worth it? I'm not really asking about work. I'm asking about your relationship with Oscar. So knowing that you've done what you've done and where you guys are today, is it worth it?
Totally. My answer is yes, it's totally worth it, because nothing is more fulfilling when you see that the child you're raising is having a good relationship with you, that you pick him up from Kita and he's like running towards you with open arms and saying, hey, nice to see you. This is like the times when you say, okay, everything you sacrificed in a way is paying out now, because you just have a great relationship with your child. And then, Tiffany, to answer your question, yeah, that's totally worth it.
You're there, you're experiencing that, you're going through that, building those moments together. It is not normal, Jacob. I got to say that. It is not. No matter how much you consider that this being
your normal. And I totally get that. Yeah. But, and I hope you being on the show and talking about your experience, I hope that this begins to pave the way for people to ask more questions. For people to say, that guy did it. I also, because I believe that there are lots of dads that want the relationship that you have with Oscar and also with your wife. I'm sure there are many people who want that, but it does take a little bit of going outside the norm, and you're kind of lighting the way here.
Thank you, Tiffany, for the nice words. Yeah.
Yeah. And wrapping it up, action items, Tiffany, that we talk about and that we are keen on. What is the actionable, right? I feel just go and informing ourselves about rights as parents, at least if you're in Germany, especially if you're an Ausländer in Germany, is so important.
Wherever you are. Yeah.
And if you're not in Germany, move to Germany.
No, we don't have enough daycare spots as it is. Stay where you are. Fix your place. Says the American who defected to Europe.
Our kids out of daycare. No, what? Not a problem, but Jacob, it was fun having you here. Thanks for sharing this. And I learned so much. So it was amazing having you.
Thank you very much for having me. I really appreciated the time and was very nice talking to you.
Ciao.
See ya.
Thank you. Bye.
Hey guys, we hope you're enjoying the show. If you haven't already, head over to reroutingpod.com and sign up for the newsletter. Subscribers receive exclusive updates from Deep and I and are the first to know when there's a new episode out. That's reroutingpod.com. Enter your email and we'll make sure you don't miss a thing.
I'm walking down just alone in the street. I have that feeling that things going down for me. I have to sit down, breathe now, free my mind. I took a million steps, but still so blind. But now I see these bright lights, glorious sunrise. I just close my eyes, charge myself with love, flying doves above. I reroll my mind. We keep it on, keep on rolling away. It's time for more when we just change the game that we play. So we just rerouting, 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 okay. We know that we won, so we sailing away. We keep it on, keep on rolling away. It's time for more when we just change the game that we play. So we just rerouting, 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 okay. We know that we won, so we sailing away. Wondering when the time will come. Days are just going by, still on the run. I took the rough way, they say, oh, you're blind. But they don't see what I'm seeing, it's on my mind. And now I see these bright lights, glorious sunrise. I just close my eyes, charge myself with love, flying doves above. I rerun my mind. We keep it on, keep on rolling away. It's time for more when we just change the game that we play. So we just rerouting, 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 okay. We know that we won, so we sailing away. We keep it on, keep on rolling away. It's time for more when we just change the game that we play. So we just rerouting, 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 okay. We know that we won, so we sailing away.
Welcome back to another week of Reroute.